Craig Harry, and we were talking about another project that he has recently completed that's available, and I did post the link in the chat room. And I had been thinking a lot about Dennis Wise in the last few weeks, and I had attempted to get a hold. Well, I sent it maybe 2 months ago, and then a month ago I emailed him, and I never heard back. And I thought, oh gosh, I hope he's okay. He's such a courageous person, and did such a fabulous job, and the research behind it were.
Yes. He's okay. He was just he had some health issues, which you know, are I think resolved now. So
good.
Yeah, he is well respected in this community, and he put together a wonderful piece that that's been viewed many, many times around the world.
Monumental.
And now, of course, it has a home. And from the first introduction to it last night, we've been getting quite the response. So it's really good. But what I was saying about John was that he's one of these guys who, and not just limited to men, of course, one of these people who can or has pulled themselves up, as they say, by their own bootstraps. Mm-hmm. So that's great imagery, right? I mean, you're on the ground and you pull yourself up right from the ground. That's exactly what he did. And I think, and I've said this before, and I think on your show too, that's one of the great things about this country is that you really can do almost anything that you set your mind to.
Or even in Sweden or Guyana or just...
Exactly. Exactly. And I think this country represents that spirit of, I guess, entrepreneurship or independence, mm-hmm. freedom to be able to even think about the things. I think that's the first step, right? Thinking mm-hmm. about doing something. You know, I think I can, right? I think I can do it. And mm-hmm. and then having the opportunity to do it, which, of course, he did. And he made his mark, and I think besides the literary appeal of this book, I think it's important because of, and I'm sure this is what you wanted to touch upon as well. It's important because of what they're trying to do, and when I say they're, we're talking, of course, the establishment class, the people who are in the driver's seat and sitting in that vehicle that they're in and, you know, moving forward, propelling forward the mass media, the government, all of the institutions that benefit from this COVID vaccine or these COVID vaccines, this modus operandi of getting this done was not as obviously centralized and sophisticated as it is now, because there's a lot more at stake for them. But when John was involved in Big Pharma, they were using similar tactics and from cajoling to flat out bribery, which is what he did to get the job done and get these drugs approved, go to the health authorities of these particular countries and bribe the person in charge to do what had to be done in order to get the drug approved. So I think it's important in the sense that folks need to know what they're up against, who they're up against, and
and
this will give them, I think, the ammunition necessary to take on or to mentally understand what they're dealing with.
Oh, this book, if everybody read this book, they would know exactly what they would know the enemy. They could recognize immediately the enemy that's before them, and they would be able to defend themselves against that enemy. And it is just people really do not understand how this whole thing worked and how incremental it was, that you just John just started out, when you read his history, eating out of garbage cans, being homeless, walking barefoot, and then to realize that he achieved a PhD, and that he had so much power and his intuitiveness on how to manipulate people the way that he had been manipulated as a child. No lesson was lost on him. He learned how to do this. His life experiences taught him to be a survivor, even if it meant doing things that, he was a survivor. He was a survivor in his elected position with Big Pharma. He knew how to work people incredibly well. He was a master manipulator because he learned how to manipulate as a little 5-year-old, little 3-year-old. And he never forgot those lessons. They were ingrained in him to the point that he, like Sidney Durrell, oh gosh, what a piece of garbage that guy was.
Who's that?
Durrell, the guy that...
Yes.
And it was just, this book is mind-boggling. Everybody needs to read it. Honest, everybody needs to read this book.
Yes. It's kind of the, I don't want to use the word Bible, because that's...
It is. It's a Bible.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. It's kind of the Bible of Big Pharma. That here's a guy who went all the way to the top. And that's what I was saying. It really is it's such an underused asset that you would think that it would not be the case, but it is, that, you know, more people need to know about it. And yes, you know, we don't, you know, obviously, or no, we don't have the budget to, you know, get the news out to everybody, of course, like they do. And, you know, people are, you know, sometimes coming across it and, you know, going to turningthetidepublishing.com. And I think actually someone from one of your listeners just got it. Not too long ago, maybe like a half hour ago or something.
Good.
Or less.
I think all of my listeners should do that.
Yes.
It's a must read. Honestly, it's just a must read. And as I mentioned, I probably have 100 post-it notes in here because there's so many important things.
If you want to go over some stuff.
Oh my gosh. Just, let's see. The thing that was so impressive to me was, and it's not, it is his early life and his interaction with the church, because that was his first experience, other than his family experience of being coolies. This was his independent personal experience with being manipulated as a little more than a toddler. And Oh, that made me sick.
Yes.
That and but he was developed his appreciation for family. It developed an appreciation for he was three. His father became seriously ill when he was three. And his father was a fisherman. And how these children, his older brother stepped in and took over the business. His mother would take the fish to the market every day, and there were seven children, two girls, five boys, and he was the second to last in the lineup. So he learned early on how to survive, watching how his family worked together to survive. And then he survived his own interpersonal relationship. I don't want to even call it a relationship. He survived a decadent assault on him. And he learned that sometimes you do what you have to do in order to make sure that your family got fed.
Yes. Yes, that's a nice way to sum it up. And of course, what was done to him was disgusting.
Yes.
Yeah, and it happens to, obviously, it happens to a lot of people,
Yes.
in different circumstances, and some of them worse than others. But yeah, he's an incredible, that, and I wanted to say that before. I procrastinate on some things, most things. And I've discovered over the years that procrastinating actually has been beneficial for me, except in one area. And that area is when someone dies. So, where I said, geez, I wanted to see this person again, or I wanted to talk to them. But I really wish that he was around to see this, what was done, because when I read the book, the first one, I actually went over, we went over every line. So we went over everything. And just to make sure that it was right, or just to get, as I said, amplification on it, or if there were errors, to correct them. But there was stuff in, as you saw, Deanna, there was stuff in the second edition that wasn't in the first,
Right.
and it was more fleshed out. And I think that makes it a lot better book. And the upshot of it is that really the people who are operating this machine called Big Pharma are evil. And they don't care how many people die from what they're hawking, like we see with the vaccines, people are dying. Hank Aaron might have died
Right.
from the vaccine. I mean, he was a hero, of mine and people in my age group growing up. I mean, a lot of these baseball players, for me, no more. I'm like you. I haven't watched TV since 1991, and I certainly would not watch, sports, that anti-American, entity that's run by, the members of the tribe primarily. I'm not interested in hearing that crap. I'm not interested in hearing about systemic racism or white supremacy. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're in this arena. I don't know any white supremacists. I don't know, what, and what is that anyway? I mean, the way
Right.
that this media is going after that, the whites now, it's getting to the point where I think, enough white people are going to take notice and realize that they don't know any white supremacists, and that's really not an issue. And the media is trying to create this problem, and, you know, the whole white privilege nonsense and all that. I mean, this is not good. This is not a good thing that's happening. But we can be fairly certain to say that the people who are running Big Pharma are more interested in getting people hooked. I mean, just look at the Sackler family, what they did with OxyContin.
Oh, yes.
They made, well, you know, they made billions. I mean, hundreds of thousands of Americans, many who were just looking for pain relief and got addicted, have died. They've destroyed the lives of perhaps millions of people, and they're still incredibly wealthy. And the system, the capitalist system, allows, and the judicial system allows this type of thing to happen. And when more and more people begin dying, and when it's uncovered that perhaps Hank Aaron was one of them from this vaccine that they have not tested, we could find all this. We can find the beginnings of what we're seeing now in the book, Side Effects Death.
Absolutely. Right. And they make so much money on the drug itself that they allow enough money for lawsuits. And even if there is a lawsuit, they will buy off judges. They will buy off the witnesses. They will buy people off. That because they make so much money that a lawsuit is insignificant, especially right. When they can affect the outcome.
That's right, and it's the cost of doing business. You know, the proverbial cost of doing business. Just like, you know, the automobile industry, same thing. I mean, they calculate, and everything nowadays is, you know, people think they have an image of, you know, for example, let's say President Trump, you know, going into a meeting to decide something. They don't realize that there's probably as many or more lawyers in the room who are supposedly vetting everything and, you know, clearing it than there are policymakers. I mean, lawyers basically control everything now, I think.
Right.
And if someone just looks at, for example, you brought up that wonderful human being, Sidney Turrell. If somebody, you know, when they get the book, they'll get to this point, obviously, where they talk about the Prozac. John explains how it was that, well, it's name is fluoxetine, right? Is that how you say it, Deanna?
Right. And it has fluoride in it. Well, our water has fluoride in it.
Why not?
Yeah, sure. Throw some fluoride in it.
Right.
It's just, and they tested it. When you look at the test and the number of people that participated in the test was something like 286. And keep in mind that when drug companies approach the FDA, the FDA does no testing whatsoever. The FDA was created in 1906 in order to protect corporations. And what they do is that the drug company itself does these clinical trials, quote unquote. And they weed out the people who are suicidal and all that. We'll pick this up on the other side of the break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
All righty, we are back with our guest, Dave Gehary, and we were talking about Prozac and how it was approved. There were 286 people. Or maybe it was 287 people that actually participated in the trial, the clinical trial. However, there were people in the clinical trial who committed suicide, so of course their numbers weren't counted. But when you consider the buildup for this product and the wide dissemination of this product, the real guinea pigs are people who opted to take this product. And the other thing that is so horrible about it is you can do off-label prescriptions. In other words, it can be prescribed for just about anything that any doctor can think of prescribing it for. You go in with a cuticle or you've got an ingrown toenail, give them some Prozac. And so,
yes, off-label marketing. They make billions off of that. That's right. Yes,
and
it was
children.
286, Deanna. You were right. It was 286.
Right.
Which is really a slap in the face.
It is.
I mean, so yeah, it's what's great about it is, reading this was that you learn really how rigged it is. Against us, and how they just, I guess it's indicative of now with what's happening, that people look at this and they see this really runaway locomotive here where they're just having their way. And, you know, it, regardless of what any of us is saying, anybody's saying, they're, you know, other professionals, doctors with, you know, experience, decades of experience, and they're just banning them, deleting them, censoring them, and they just don't care. That's why, you know, logically, this is not, this can't go on like this. There's going to be a point where, you know, your person in the street finally gets it and says, no, you can't be doing this. You know, big tech and big media and big government and whoever else, you know, obviously the intelligence agencies are involved. And of course, we discussed briefly that just really a few days ago was the 60th anniversary of Eisenhower's address, his farewell address, you know, 3 days before Kennedy was set to be sworn in, the military-industrial complex speech, which, of course, is ironic on many fronts, but, you know, nonetheless, it was important because he went, as president, he went to the American people to warn them about this complex that had grown around him. And of course, he had, as you said, he had a lot to do with that. But nonetheless, he's telling them, you have to do something about this. And it's only gotten infinitely and exponentially worse to the point where we are almost in Skynet territory, where, you know, the intelligence agencies are reading everything that we create, whether it's in email or our phone calls or this show or, you know, the USPS going through the mail, which I've been getting more reports recently that mail has been looked into.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, and of course, now this particular administration wants to go after the white supremacists, the domestic extremists. I guess if you were one of the founding fathers now, you would be obviously a domestic extremist. And, you know, forget about, you know, patriotism or the Constitution or wanting the country to, you know, follow in the footsteps of what these geniuses put together. No, if you want that, you are a threat to the machine and you will be taken out.
It's not good.
It's really amazing. But it, like I said, I'm hopeful that things are going to change, because the more they push us, you know, the more our muscles grow.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah, I think it is, because, you know, obviously what Nietzsche said, you know, what doesn't kill me makes me stronger. You know, that's kind of a variation on that. And people are pushed now. A lot of people are really, I think that a lot of people, one word that could be used to describe a lot of people is exasperated. They're just like, they can't believe it. They can't believe that what happened. But they're going to wake up out of it, that you know, fog, and they're going to strike back. But I wanted to, if we have time, just touch on how it is that John was pressured into handling the Prozac matter. Do we have a little time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, well, let's see. We're scheduled for a break momentarily, and then we're going to have 20 minutes after.
Okay. Yes. So then probably it might make sense to wait for that. It's going to take a little time to go, but I'll set it up that, you know, here you have this particular drug that they put into the pipeline and they had big plans for. And the next step was, well, how are we going to get this drug moving? How are we going to get it approved? Because there are hurdles for the approval. And that's when somebody like Sidney Taurel comes into the picture as the CEO of Eli Lilly and uses the weight of that position to motivate an underling, in this case, John, right, to do the dirty work that he was not going to do. And John explains, and this is really, you know, one of the best parts of the book, although there are so many great parts in the book, but how it happened that Taurel used his position to get John to do what had to be done in order to get Prozac approved, and then people obviously addicted to it and doctors prescribing it and creating that vicious circle of bribery and all of the other parts to the puzzle, and what John did in order to zero in on the individual that would actually open the door for Prozac to be prescribed to now millions of people. And, you know, and that's what really bothered John, was that they were going after the kids. And when you think about the number of children who are on these mind-altering drugs, when in the past, when we were growing up, you wouldn't even think about it. You know, okay, there might have been a kid who, you know, was a little more hyper than the other kids. Well, you don't deal with it by cramming a drug down their throats.
No.
Deal with it with other ways. But then again, there's been an entire industry whose main focus has been destroying the nuclear family. And we know all about them, and we know who they are. And, you know,
including
this, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Including the federal control of the school system, which has a lot to do with teachers now being qualified, quote unquote, to say, oh, your child needs to be on Ritalin, or your child needs this, or your child needs that.
Yeah. Or we're going to take them away.
Yes. Yes. So yes, parents are backed into a corner.
It really is a nightmare right now, the position that we've been put in. And that's why I think a lot of people want to drop or get off of the grid, you know, drop off of, you know, this connection that most of us have to, you know, the federal government or the state governments or the corporations. Really, the corporations now are, and I guess they always have, right? They've always run the show. It's just becoming painfully obvious now as they move in lockstep, you know, what their priorities are. And it's certainly not us, right?
No. And that's been true since the so-called end of the, or the end of the so-called Civil War, is that corporations were allowed to exercise the rights of an individual, and so they were free to adopt those rights, and we became a corporatocracy. And they altered the 13th Amendment. For one thing, lawyers were never supposed to serve in Congress. And you go all the way back. You mentioned the Constitution. You mentioned capitalism versus communism. They were both created by the Rothschild clan. It was called the European plan, and they created both systems. So there was, and that has been the case.
Yes, yes, and you've written books on this. So I mean, that's why I'm sitting here talking about this one book, but here you are with, you know, really this vast store of knowledge. It's kind of funny that, you know, you're interviewing me. I should be interviewing you.
Well, this book is compared to mine, a very easy read. There's no excuse for no one to not read this book. People could look at my books and say, I don't want to read a 700-page book, but they can look at this book and say, hey, this is something I can do.
Yeah.
This is something that I can do and sink my teeth in and have knowledge for what is going on right now.
Yes.
Now. This is a right now book.
That's
it's
right.
Current to what is going on, more than any book that I have read. And I read all the time. I have three or four books a week. But
wow,
this book is a must-read book. Well, you just keep publishing stuff. That's your expertise is and the editing and the talking with people, and you were able to work with what was available, and you created a masterpiece.
Oh, come on. Well, thank you very much. And that's that means so much to me, you saying that. And I guess the other part of it is that we, you know, not just publish, but we also fulfill. And so one of the things we pride ourselves on is getting the books out immediately. So any books that are ordered over the weekend always go out, as long as it's not a holiday, on Monday. And if they're ordered on Monday early enough, they go out on Monday, and same for all the other days. So we get them out right away, and we like to get them in the hands of the buyers right away. Of course, the USPS doesn't accommodate, but they're getting better, actually.
Right.
You know, it was a tough time with the election, with this Operation COVID, and with you know, the mail-in ballots and the holidays, that there were books that and DVDs that, you know, took literally, it's fine. One customer had contacted me, ordered a DVD of Hellstorm, and he ordered it, I think, on December 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
And it was shipped right away.
Mm-hmm.
And it was delivered yesterday. So, I'm talking to the United States. No, December 4th. So it was shipped. He ordered it on December 4th. It was shipped on December 4th. The next update from December 4th was January 20th, where it arrived in Detroit.
Oh, my God.
So it went from here, Crestview, Florida, to Detroit, Michigan, December 4th to January 20th.
Oh, my gosh.
So in the meantime, you know, we sent him out, you know, another one and said that, you know, hey, if it gets there, just keep it, you know, which it did. And
sure,
he said,
yeah,
you'd like me to send it back? I said, no, of course not. So we send it out right away. But the problem is that the USPS is, or was, let's hope they're going to improve. And they're getting a rate hike that goes into effect tomorrow, unfortunately. So, you know, media mail is increasing, because I saw that actually today. Mm. So something that would cost $5 to ship media mail is now $5.18, because they tacked on an additional, I think it's 9 cents per pound for media mail. And an additional ounce stamp, which was 15 cents, is going up to 20 cents. So it's affecting a lot of things. And just know that we get this stuff out right away, and if you order Side Effects Death today, we'll get it out Monday. It'll be in the mail, and then you can receive, if you get it online, of course, with an email, you'll receive, as soon as the label's created, an email with the tracking information. And make sure you check your junk and spam, because for some reason it ends up there a lot. And besides credit and debit cards, we also accept cash, check, money orders, and cryptocurrency. So cryptocurrency has been on a tear lately. If you look at Bitcoin, it went up to, I think, over 40,000, you know, recently.
Wow.
Which is, it's crazy. Right now it's at 30-something thousand, 32,000. But I think it was, in the beginning of the month, it hit almost 42,000. And we're talking in December, around Christmas time, it was at 22,000. So it went up $20,000 in 2 weeks, this Bitcoin. And
wow.
So when these cryptocurrencies increase, that's when folks obviously get more bang for the buck. So we accept the cryptocurrencies. And this is all due to, our guy who's behind the scenes, our tech guy, who's wonderful, Sean, he's the best. And that's what I was saying. We couldn't do what we do without the team. And really, you know, this right here, what we're doing here is part of the team. I mean, you know, you're doing this, you're promoting the book, you're not getting anything from it, you know, but you consider it to be something important. And this is part of our whole network. And we all do things for each other, and we don't do it for compensation. We do it because it's the right thing to do. So,
exactly.
Yes. So all of us are part of the team, and the listeners as well. And I know when we get to the last hour that, you know, we're going to have, you know, the calls, and these are great people. I love taking calls, and I love answering questions to the best of my ability. And I'm looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to, you know, revealing this one part of the book where Sydney, you know, has John do his dirty work. And I just want to say that there has been over the years criticism, you know, of John, that, hey, he did all this stuff and, you know, he did all this bad stuff and he made a ton of money and now he's coming clean. You know, why didn't he come clean before he did it? Well, that's not the way it works. Right?
No, it isn't.
Yeah. You know, you do these things and, you know, sometimes you don't realize you're doing something bad. Sometimes
right.
You think you're doing something good, you know, and that's happened to me in life and jobs where I thought I was selling a good product. And then when I realized it wasn't a good product, I immediately quit. And, you know, to the, you know, dismay and, you know, really confusion of those around me that, you know, saw that, you know, the money was good and I just can't stomach stuff like that. If it's something that's not helping people, then, and it's hurting them, it's actually hurting them, then I immediately disassociate myself from it. And which is why I guess Washington, D.C. is such a turnoff to a lot of people, because these representatives and senators go in there, you know, middle class, and they come out millionaires.
Right.
As public servants. I mean, how is it that, you know, right. They're allowed to do that, right?
Right. A wrestling coach goes to serve the people in a particular area of Illinois, a wrestling coach, and comes back a millionaire?
Right.
Dennis
Hastert, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And there were other things about good old Dennis.
Oh, yes. Apparently he... Yes, he had some issues.
Yeah.
Eli Lilly, which is a part of, which is a factor here, keep in mind that the Bush family has had close connections with Eli Lilly, sat on the board, and some of the things that that George W. Bush did in Texas was that he made Prozac and certain other drugs available to the prisoners, and he had this operation going as a test state, which when you read about all the stuff that they do, the other thing too that is very interesting is that people don't realize how they brand these products. Now, this started out as what, fluoxetine, and they pay a company, Eli Lilly paid a company that specializes in branding a product. And so when you think about the name Prozac, it just has a ring about it. Pro, it makes it sound like it's a very positive, wonderful thing that everybody must have. And people don't realize that they're being set up by geniuses to accept things because of how it sounds. I don't know how much they paid for
yeah, the absolutely. No, they pay millions.
Yes.
They literally pay. It's like, let me do it, you know. Let me mm-hmm. do it. I'll do it for a lot cheaper. Mm-hmm. I'll come up with a name. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, exactly. And most of these drug names are just bizarre. I mean, Prozac is kind of, you know, pedestrian and staid compared to the names nowadays, you know, Cymbalta, you know, all of these weird, you know, sounding names. So, yeah, they actually do pay. Companies exist who make millions of dollars from, in this case, Eli Lilly. And I believe they're based in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I guess that's not too far from you.
Right.
Yeah. And New Jersey was a big, big pharma state as well. It still is. You know, there's a lot. Johnson & Johnson.
Oh, which right. Yes.
Yeah. It used to be a clean. It's funny, you know, all the years that I read the Wall Street Journal, I never read anything about any improprieties regarding Johnson & Johnson's business practices. But nowadays, they're all over the place. So they obviously have fallen off the wagon and decided that profits make much more sense than, you know, being ethical.
Right.
Sad.
And what they wanted to do was to create a blockbuster.
Yes, that's the term, blockbuster. That's a term that John uses throughout the book, and also another term which isn't used here in the United States as it is in Europe is turnover. You know, we think of a turnover as, you know, a snack that has like apple or cherry in it, but turnover just means sales. You know, and that was the whole goal, was to increase the turnover. And when Sidney approached John, you know, it was with turnover in mind. And John knew, and I'll let his words, you know, when we get to that, I'll let his words describe exactly what happened. And that's perfect timing, because then we'll go to the break and then we will get the callers, right?
Right. Even as early as, the drug came out in 88. But even before that, when they were involved in a lawsuit, it says the court determined that Lilly's cover-up of deaths is standard practice in the industry, and that the official deaths, the deaths that occur during a so-called clinical trial, are industry secrets, as if it were some sort of an ingredient. But those are industry secrets.
Yeah. So, I've never taken any of these type of drugs. Fortunately, I guess I never, you know, was a candidate for them. I know there's people who have certain issues, and I guess this is maybe a last resort or close to a last resort. So,
and initially, from what I understand, it makes you feel better, because that's what you've been promised, that you would feel better. And so what it does, it dulls your mind to the point that you think that you feel better, and you're hooked, because they are you're addicted to it. You become addicted.
Yes, and the suicide as well. So.
Right. John said, he says, my fluoxetine doctors were eating out of the palm of my hand. We had only just returned to Sweden when I began to generously hand out the new pills. Time for the sewing. My doctors saw to it that as many of their patients as possible enjoyed them. This is how our new drug was launched, before it even had been approved.
They laid the groundwork for it.
Mm-hmm.
And they used money and gifts, ultimately money, to swing the doctors over to their side.
Right. Yeah. And John, who was also, quite interestingly, he was also a rock star for a period of time.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah. Then he got into a business where that seemed more legitimate, and it wasn't out. He didn't have groupies or whatever. But he was multi-talented, and and he was in charge of salespeople, pharmaceutical drug people.
Yes.
And they would tell him, we just can't get in to see this doctor. And he told them how to manipulate the nurses with flowers, take flowers in, do this, do that, do whatever it takes, and to set things in the waiting rooms, pamphlets on certain drugs, but to manipulate their way into the doctor's office to talk to the doctor. Okay, we'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
About 3 minutes until the top of the hour, this Prozac, chapter 7, my Prozac story. He talks about the blockbuster. He talks about the approval process, the serotonin theory, all of these things. Oh, and the side effect. Not only did they say, "Oh, this is good for you to make people, depressed people feel normal." They also said, if being overweight has been a problem, then this is good for weight reduction. Well, a lot of people are overweight, so this was very, very appealing. But the approval process had to do with money. And So go ahead and.
Yes, yes. And it, you know, and that's, you know, money makes the world go around, right? I mean, even, for example, publishing, right? I mean, you have to introduce new books in order to stay alive, or new products in order to stay alive. And
right.
That's just the way it is. So, you know, it makes sense that they have to introduce new products in order to maintain their, you know, competitiveness and their financial viability. And a lot of people depend on, in this case, Eli Lilly, to put bread on their table. And people will, unfortunately, do things that put finances before people's welfare. And in this case, this is John's explaining in that chapter 7, that he says, unfortunately, as far as the approval in Sweden was concerned, nothing made a difference, and the situation grew more acute. Sidney Torrell, who was then vice president of the European sector, was now the CEO of Lilly. I had been at an internal company seminar in London when he appeared briefly to tell us how important motivation was. And then this, he explains, he was in the car with him. He says, when he found out that I had to get my flight back to Sweden that same day, he offered to take me to the airport. And I willingly agreed. The driver greeted us, held the doors open, and after we had slid across the back seat, gently closed the doors so that you could scarcely hear the click. It was a large car, and the driver appeared to be standing up while sitting down. The motor purred so softly and uniformly that I hardly felt it move away. We left the hotel, which resembled a park in a suburb of London, and hovered to the airport. Torrell did everything to make me feel small. He knew the coolie head only too well. The hearty invitation at the hotel resulted in a journey in which he didn't speak to me, knowing that, appropriate to our respective status, it was up to him to start a conversation. Instead, yikes, he thumbed through his notes. The sound of his papers was the only conversation. The leather seats were still cold. I wondered whether Torrell had seat heating and whether the driver already knew, simply from the manner in which Torrell and I had approached the car, that the heating for my seat shouldn't be switched on. Suddenly, the bustle of the airport appeared, planes starting and landing, service trucks and passenger buses were all in view, and Sidney Torrell finally broke his silence. Prozac, he began. I nodded and waited for him to continue. That subject is very important to me, too, he added, just as the car began to slow down and pull into a parking space. I didn't answer and wasn't expected to. I had understood the message. The approval had to progress in Sweden. Do you understand? He asked by way of parting as I stood on the tarmac. Yes, sir, I said, as an obedient schoolboy might sound. But Sidney Torrell had already returned to his notes, and the driver had already removed my luggage from the trunk. He gave it to me, shut the car door, and showed me the direction to take. The message was clear. My career now depended upon the rapid approval of fluoxetine in Sweden. Sidney Torrell would then be able to market it as Prozac in the United States.
Yikes.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay, we're
that's
at the top.
That's how they do it, right?
Yep, that's what they do. Wow. And I reread that several times, and I thought, wow, what manipulation without saying meant he didn't have to say a lot. Okay, we'll be right back. Let's top the hour.
Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.